Right then. Nobody here seemed to care about this stuff. So why should Skylar stress herself out over it? Kellen settled her behind the wheel, then she scooted over to make room for him. Tegan lifted Brooke onto his lap, and his mate rested her palms against the roof of the cab, as if she knew rough roads were coming. Skylar had never been mudding before, and a sense of overwhelming excitement took her. Utterly beside herself, she clenched her hands and squealed. "Excited?" Kellen asked, eyes glued to her smile. "Yes! This was the best day of her life. How could she not be excited?" Her future with Kellen stretched on and on now. There was no more questioning her place beside him. And after that giant, sexy man, woodcutter, werebear group hug back there, she was feeling like this was exactly the place she'd always meant to end up, among the Ash crew, with a man who could protect her heart. Tegan nuzzled Brooke's neck, and she giggled as Kellen turned the key. The engine roared to life, and he rested his hand on Skylar's thigh as he twisted in his seat and backed the giant truck out of its parking spot. He took the main road out of the trailer park, the one he'd brought her in on when he'd kidnapped her. She laughed at the memory of how scared she'd been of Roger's reaction when he found her gone. It was a relief how gloriously little she'd thought about him this past week and a half. Who cared about her name and bloodline? No one here. And someday, she'd bear Kellen little cubs and raise them with a man she knew would be an amazing father. But for now, she was happy just being with him, of making his den her home and making him as happy as he made her. If this truck had a sunroof, she'd thrust herself out into the open air and spread her arms wide to catch the air. She couldn't wipe the grin off her face as Kellen jerked the truck into the woods and over the first skid of mud. The truck whipped this way and that as he maneuvered a hole riddled road these trailer park bears had probably used many times before. The truck bounced and spun out, splashing rooster tails of the brown goop whenever Kellen made a sharp turn. The other two trucks and Bronco raced beside them, then rushed ahead as the back of Kellen's ride got bogged down in a marshy area. Headlights flashed this way and that over the piney woods as the bear shifters skidded circles over a meadow. Drew was hanging out of one of the trucks, yelling in pure joy, hands out above his head, as Hayden grinned from the driver's side. Skylar hadn't stopped laughing since they left, and even when Kellen's truck got hopelessly stuck, and Tegan convinced her and Brooke to get out and help push them out, she still had a muddy grin on after they were done with the messy work. A quick glance in the rear view showed her happy reflection, mud streaked across her face where she'd scratched an itch. Kellen hooked his arm around her shoulders and brought her in close, then kissed her like he meant it. His lips spoke the words he'd told her earlier. He loved her, adored her, just like she did him. And when they finally drove home and said goodnight to the crew, he tugged her hand and led her to 1010. In the light of the bathroom, he peeled her filthy clothes off her. The bathtub was ancient, a baby puke brown color, and definitely lacked the stopper to run a bath. But Kellen clogged up the drain with a shaving cream cap, filled it with hot water, and bathed her slowly from her hair to her toes. He didn't say anything as he worked, but he didn't have to. His gaze cherished her body and warmed her from her belly to her fingertips. When her skin shone like an eggshell in sunlight, he checked the mark he'd made on the back of her neck, turned off the lights, and fell asleep beside her, tucked up tight and warm under the comforter. And that was a gift in itself. Tonight, Kellen had given up his den for her. As she watched him sleep beside her, breathing deeply, his heavy arm slung over her waist, she marveled at how much her life had changed, at how much he'd changed it. She brushed her fingers over his cheek and inhaled his scent. He would protect her as long as she lived. And as long as he lived, she would do the same for him.
Chapter 12.
"Do you miss my giant flannel shirt?" Skylar teased. Kellen laughed and shook his head, then opened his mouth for another bite of frozen yogurt Skylar offered him from her cup. He swallowed and draped his arm across her shoulders.
"I prefer you in this outfit."
He raked his gaze down her tank top and borrowed dark wash skinny jeans tucked into her black hiking boots. And finally,
He'd taken the gold songbird necklace she proudly wore around her throat. "Now, if you were comfortable wearing that flannel potato sack," he continued, "you know I'd still love you in it. But you dress more confidently now. I like you strong. It's all my new lumberjack muscles. I have to show them off." She flexed her arm, and he arched his eyebrows appropriately. He hadn't stopped smiling on their entire date to the Snowy Mountain pub and to the ice cream shop after lunch. Kellen had laughed more today than she'd ever seen him do, and it lightened her step with every booming sound of amusement he gifted her with. Saratoga was busy for a Tuesday afternoon, but she didn't mind the crowded sidewalk. Nothing could bust up her mood. She was newly mated to a man she hadn't dreamed of wishing for. He acted honored that she was with him, touching her constantly in affectionate ways. "I like your hair up like this," he said, cupping the casual, messy bun she'd pulled back and away from her face with a hairband. "I can see your eyes better." "You like it because it shows off my mark," she accused happily. "That too." He leaned down and kissed her earlobe. "I think you like showing it off."
"Hell yeah, I do."
"What about this one?" he said, pulling her to a stop in front of another clothing boutique. His hand was already full of shopping bags, but he seemed determined she get whatever she wanted. Her new paycheck was already half spent on new clothes and personal items she needed for her new home. But she'd lived simply for so long that more than a couple weeks' worth of outfits seemed frivolous.
"Nah, I think I'm good. Do you need to get anything while we're in town?
I think you paid your dues shopping with me today. I owe you." "I like shopping with you," he said, confusion drawing his eyebrows into a frown. "I like when you show me your clothes and want to know what I think. No one has ever cared about my opinion like that before."
"I want to look pretty for you," she admitted, lacing her fingers with his and bumping his shoulder. "Makes me feel good when you look at me like you are right now. Like I'm the prettiest thing you've ever seen."
"You are."
She shrugged her shoulders up near her ears with giddiness and sighed at the butterflies he conjured in her belly. He kissed her knuckles and steered her toward the grocery store.
"Tegan gave me a list of stuff he and the boys need from town. That was the deal. If he synced up our days off, I had to take care of groceries again this week for the crew. We have a big number to hit by Saturday."
"Yeah, I heard the log buyer is coming, and the big boss has almost doubled the lumber order."
"Are your muscles still sore?" Kellen asked, massaging her neck gently.
She glanced across the street before they crossed at the light and skidded to a stop. Roger stood there, staring at her with vitriol in his cold eyes. A truck pulling a trailer stacked five rows deep with stripped logs drove between them, and when it passed, Roger was nowhere to be seen.
"Skylar?" Kellen asked, worry thickening his tone. "What's wrong?"
I thought I saw..." She swallowed hard and tried to steady her galloping heartbeat.
Kellen searched the other side of the street and pulled her closer. "Hey," he said low. "Even if he's here, you're safe, Skylar."
He hooked a finger under her chin and drew her attention upward to his eyes.
"He won't hurt you. I won't let him."
Kellen's eyes churned an odd color, silver gray in the saturated sunlight. Shaking her head to rid herself of the chills that had taken her, she touched where Kellen's smile lines had disappeared. "I know. I was just startled is all. I'm not even sure he was really there or if I imagined him."
Slowly, Kellen leaned down and brushed his lips against hers.
She relaxed instantly, her muscles losing their tension as she clutched his black cotton t-shirt.
Damn, but her man looked good today.
His V-neck shirt stretched tight over his defined chest, and his jeans hung just right on that sexy waist of his. His boots were big and clunky, just the way she liked them. And his hair was perfectly mussed, begging her to run her fingernails across his scalp. And those silvery, inhuman eyes, her knees were knocking by the time he brushed his tongue against hers. His fingers gripped her hair as he angled her face and deepened the kiss. His other hand found the curve of her backside.
"Get a room," a passerby muttered.
Skylar giggled and eased back, but Kellen only cocked his head in confusion at the irritated man.
"What does that mean?"
"It means he doesn't approve our PDA.
"What's PDA?
"Public display of affection. Get a room is a saying that means we should do what we're doing in a bedroom, in private, not out in the open, where people can see us."
"Oh, but I like kissing you."
She couldn't help her grin any more than she could help the rain.
I like you kissing me, too.
It's probably the ass grabbing that has him grumpy.
Oh.
Kellen removed his kneading hand from her derriere, then picked up the bags he'd dropped.
Fine. Later we'll get a room. In our den.
It's a date.
Is it?
I thought we just went on a date. Brooke specifically said a date is when you go into town and go out to eat or watch a movie.
Skylar giggled and tugged his hand as the walk sign on the pedestrian light flashed. They crossed the street and meandered into the grocery store to start in on the giant list Kellen had tucked in his pocket. As they passed the floral section, Kellen asked, "What is your favorite flower?"
"Pink roses," she said it without thinking. Her favorite used to be tulips. But now, she adored the rose she'd pressed dry in the center of a phone book in 1010. The flower Kellen had given her, the day he decided to take her home with him. Kellen picked out a bouquet of pink roses and another of yellow. Skylar didn't mind that he picked out flowers for Brooke, too. It was just his way. He cared about women and liked for them to feel special. His kind heart made her adore him even more. When they had the groceries piled high in the cart and were standing in line at the checkout counter, Kellen patted her butt and murmured, "I forgot Brooke's bacon. I'll be right back."
"Don't pay," he said over his shoulder. "I got this."
He'd been trying to pay for everything all day. It was clear he liked to take care of her. His bear had a distinct need to feel like a protector and provider. But she'd won by arguing her need to be independent, which he agreed was good for her. She didn't think he'd let her get away with sneaky paying for the crew's groceries, though. So she began to load everything on the conveyor belt more slowly than necessary.
"You look different."
That deep, emotionless voice shot fear straight into her gut. Roger leaned against the stand of plastic bags, arms crossed and head cocked, as if he'd been there the entire time, watching her. His blonde hair looked unkempt, as always, and the blue in his eyes was particularly icy. Skylar squared her shoulders and glared. "I'm happy now. Happiness changes a lot about a person."
"I can see that."
His empty eyes dragged to her tight jeans, then back to her face. He didn't look amused that she worn clothes he would have thrown into the street.
"You haven't been picking up your phone."
"I turned it off. I don't have any interest in talking to you. I said what I had to say. We're finished." The cashier was a heavyset woman with gray, frizzy hair and a disapproving grimace. She looked decidedly uncomfortable with what was transpiring.
"Excuse us," Roger said to the woman.
He wrenched Skylar's arm so fast she squeaked in surprised pain. With an unbreakable grip, he dragged her outside.
"The fuck you say to me? We're over? That's not your call to make."
Fear clogged her throat, but she had to be strong now. She wasn't just some breeder with a pretty name anymore. She was part of the Ash crew, chosen mate to a strong and good man. She was a lumberjack, a wage earner. She was a laugher, a joker, a lover, a friend. She was so much more than the nothing he tried to turn her into. Gritting her teeth to bolster her confidence, she pulled his credit cards from her wallet and tried to hand them to him with a prim tilt to her chin. "Take these back. I don't need them. I guess I never really did." A cruel smile stretched his thin lips, and he wrapped his hand around her throat and pushed her backward into a thin alleyway. Her boots dragged the asphalt as she struggled against his grip, but Roger was too strong. He slammed her against the brick wall of the store as she scrabbled with desperate fingers to loosen his steely grasp on her neck. When she struggled to draw breath, choking sounds wrenched from deep within her.
"I thought I made myself clear on the phone that this isn't through. You're still mine."
"Think again, dickface," Kellen said casually from his position, leaning against the wall. "Do your dumb ass a favor before you embarrass yourself further and check her neck. Go on, I'll wait. Though, if you don't remove your hands from my mate's throat, I'm going to rip your intestines out through your trachea."
The hard steel in Kellen's voice said he wasn't bluffing. Maybe he really would do that. Skylar wouldn't put it past his bear. Roger glared at her mate, but his grip loosened. Probably a smart move since Kellen had 6 inches on him, and a fucking grizzly bear living inside of him. She helped the idiot out and turned her head so he could see Kellen's claiming mark.
"What does that mean?"
Fury infused Roger's words. What the fuck have you done?
I got myself claimed by a real man.
She had to force the words past her aching windpipe, but her voice had stopped shaking, so there was that. He even gave me a gold necklace.
Roger's eyes turned livid as they landed on her songbird charm. Crimson crept up his neck.
You stupid bitch. You were supposed to be mine. I chose you. I won you. Your father promised you to me.
He lifted his open palm and drew it back. Kellen was there in a blur. One second, he was leaning against the building, and the next he was gripping Roger's hand, stopping him from the open palm slap across her face he'd intended.
My alpha forbade me to kill you, you sorry son of a bitch, and that is the only reason you are drawing a breath right now. Listen to me. Let this sink in. You'll let her go, because you have no choice. I would fucking eat you before I let you near her again. You hurt a woman, which means you are not a man. How did you ever expect to keep a woman like Skylar if you can't even treat her with respect?
Kellen's grip tightened on his extended arm, and Roger yelped in pain.
You are a worthless sack of shit. Not worthy of breathing the same air as my mate. Approach either of us again, and you'll regret that decision.
He let go of Roger's wrist and shoved him so hard Roger's back smashed into the brick wall of the next building. Skylar rubbed her neck and tossed his credit cards to the ground.
See you when I see you, Roger.
Without a backward glance, she followed her future from the dusty alleyway and left her past behind. Chapter 13.
Where Wombat? Denison guessed.
Nope,
Skylar muttered as she hopped onto another log.
Where Chicken? He guessed again.
Nope, she answered.
Hayden pulled on a loop of cable to test the strength before he hooked it to a log and propped his leg up on a felled tree.
What if the reason she hasn't changed is because she can't breathe air like the rest of us?
Denison scrunched up his face and looked at him like he was a dumbass.
What the hell does that even mean?
Hayden lifted his dark eyebrows and guessed.
Where goldfish?
Denison perked up and stared expectantly at Skylar.
Nope, she muttered again.
Kellen shook his head and snatched another loop of cable from Hayden. The boys had been dicking around all morning trying to figure his mate out, and so far hadn't managed to even get close. Skylar scaled the log he was eyeing and stood on the other side, then helped guide the cable around and handed it back to Kellen.
She was good. Really good. Efficient at her job, hardworking, caught on fast, never complained, and was the first one out there and loaded up in the truck every morning.
Her capability still hadn't stopped his bear from revolting every time he sat up in the machinery above and toted thousands of pounds of lumber much too close to his mate. He'd put in a request to Tegan a week ago to work with the rest of the crew during the manual labor down on the hillside. Now as Alpha ran the cables that dragged the lumber up to the landing, and Brighton was still running the processor after Connor had been killed. And when they needed a bobcat to drag the clean logs to the truck to haul them into town, well, Drew had stepped up, leaving Denison, Bruiser, Hayden, himself, and Skylar to work the mountainside, unless someone had a day off. Today, everyone was at the job site, even Brooke, who was drawing on a sketch pad from the safest place Tegan could find above the landing. Kellen's bear had settled with the new routine. And if he was honest, he enjoyed the physical part of this job. He'd forgotten how strenuous and consuming it was. And damn, did he sleep well at night now. Though he couldn't tell if that was from the hard work, scaling the hillside and lifting all day, or from fulfilling his mate's needs in their bedroom. The thought of her joining him in the shower this morning, and him slipping into her under the hot jets of water, was enough to bring a contented rumble to his throat. As Denison went down a list of where farm animals, Kellen had to bite his cheek to stop from cuffing his friend upside the head. He was getting old, and Skylar had stopped smiling about it early this morning. She hadn't changed since she'd arrived 3 weeks ago, as far as he knew. Now, he could go a while without turning into his bear if he absolutely needed to, but it was uncomfortable to stay in one form too long.
From the way Skylar had been cocking her head this way and that in jerky motions, it was clear just thinking about her animal was wrenching up her level of discomfort. Why wouldn't she just change? It couldn't be the game. Sure, it was funny as hell watching Dennison slowly sink into madness trying to figure her out. The rest of the crew, too. They'd been pestering him and Tegan nonstop, trying to get them to spill the details of Skylar's animal. But if she was hell-bent on keeping it to herself for now, he and Tegan would respect that. With the trio of logs looped with cable, the crew made their way toward the tree line, well out of the way of the skyline cable above them. When they were all clear, Kellen pulled a handheld whistle from his pocket and blasted it twice, signaling to his alpha it was safe to bring down the line. Tegan sent down a box with three heavy dangling metal cords to attach to the cable loops on the logs. Another whistle blew in the distance, and Kellen narrowed his eyes at the sound. The Greybacks were the other crew in these mountains, and for whatever reason, the head boss who owned this land had placed their current job sites too close. Bear shifter crews were territorial for one, but for two, if they came any closer, Tegan wouldn't be able to tell between his whistle and theirs, and it would be dangerous if those heavy cables came flying down the mountain with them still working on the hillside. Chop, chop, chop. Kellen scented the air and frowned at the sound that shouldn't have been in their territory. The rest of the ash crew went silent, too. The discord echoed over the mountain. It could be on the edge of the job site or a mile away. It was hard to tell. "Is that the Greybacks?" Bruiser asked, resting his hands on a low-lying pine tree limb above his head. "Shouldn't be the Boarlanders," Kellen murmured. The crew of cutters had already felled all the trees for both job sites and wouldn't be on this side of the mountain working their chainsaws today. "I think you're right. Must be the Greybacks." Skylar was looking up at the sky in silence, unblinking. Kellen touched her cheek. "Come back to Earth, beautiful. It's okay. Probably just the Greybacks taking down a missed tree or rerunning their skyline. It happens." Skylar made an attempt to smile and dipped her chin. Another jerk of her head as she angled her face. And he was hurting for her. He wished she would just change. She had her reasons for keeping her animal hidden, though, and she had shut down any conversation he'd started about turning. He'd changed into his bear three times this week, and twice she'd come into the woods with him, following silently as he foraged, explored, and fished in the stream, as if she just wanted to be near him, whether he was animal or man. He loved her for her unconditional acceptance, but she wasn't giving him anything in return with her animal side. Maybe she didn't trust him completely yet, or perhaps her people didn't need to change as much. Or maybe it hurt to let her animal out, and that's why she was putting it off. Whatever the holdup was, he wished with everything he had she would share that part of herself with him. She was open with everything else but that. The chopping continued, the sound ricocheting off the mountains, but Kellen lifted his mate's hand and kissed the knuckles of her work gloves. "Come on," he ordered the crew. "The cables are ready and we have a deadline to keep." In a rush, they stepped, jumped, and ran over the piles of fallen logs. Most of the trees here were dead from the beetle infestation, which is why the man who owned this land had hired the two crews to clear it. They were replanting as they went, hoping for new forest to spring up. As it was now, all of the dry, dead timber was basically a matchbox waiting for someone to throw a cigarette out a car window and light this place to bloody blazes. Kellen grabbed the first dangling cable that hung from the skyline above them and hooked it to the loop they'd attached to the log earlier. Skylar and Hayden worked on the second log, while Dennison worked the third. Bruiser was already preparing loops for the next set of logs to haul when the chopping became louder and the skyline lurched dangerously. Tegan yelled something Kellen couldn't understand from the landing above, and when he looked up, his alpha and Brighton were running toward the tree the skyline was attached to. The towering tree was falling, taking the line with it, and it had nowhere to go but down the mountainside. It would take other trees with it, creating an avalanche of lumber. "Get out of the way," he yelled, pointing to the tree line. "It's a distraction," Skylar murmured. Time slowed as he watched her terror-filled eyes shift from the falling logs barreling toward them to the sky. Behind her, the men were running for safety, but she hadn't moved. "Skylar, run!" Kellen yelled, too far away from her. Horror widened her eyes as her gaze locked on something above him. Her jaw clenched as she bent her knees, bunching her muscles. With an explosion of power, a falcon exploded from her, and she shot straight toward him, wings tucked, with an avian battle cry in her throat. No, not straight for him. She was aimed just above him. When he turned his face upward, a pair of lethal-looking talons were catapulting down on him, straight for his eyes. A blast of feathers burst from the attacker as Skylar hit him side-on. The giant birds fell to the ground as another screech blasted from her throat. Roger. The bigger falcon was slashing with his nails and beating his powerful wings, but Skylar was holding her own, and the feathers on his chest were turning red. The crashing sound of the trees tumbling toward them was deafening, and just as Skylar disengaged, Roger beat his wings and lifted into the air. Something was wrong. Skylar was flapping furiously, but wasn't getting anywhere. Her wings must have been injured. Kellen squinted at her. Beautiful gold and cream feathers, blazing green eyes riveted on her enemy. Curved, blood-soaked beak that sharpened down to a dagger-like point. Black talons stretched out as if she was waiting for Roger to attack again. She was beautiful. But her wings, they didn't look like Roger's. Her biggest feathers had been damaged somehow, and she was unable to fly. Skylar! Kellen yelled, running for her. He had to protect her from the tree slide if she couldn't escape with flight. Roger passed him with his wings tucked, and at the last moment, he spread them wide and latched his talons onto Skylar's. No! Kellen pumped his legs over the piled lumber and reached for her, but it was too late. Roger thrashed his wings above Kellen's reach, dragging Skylar higher and higher toward the dark clouds above. Her green eyes locked on Kellen's, and she looked so sad. So scared. Fuck, he screamed, gripping his hair. The first falling tree sailed over him. Kellen ducked out of the way of the second and third. The crew was yelling in the background, but he couldn't understand what they said. He couldn't understand anything. His bear was roaring to get out of him, but he had to hold on to his human side for a while more. He had to survive this slide so he could try and save his mate. His focus was rattled, and he jumped over a falling log, only to be drummed in the head and shoulder by a thinner one. Pain zinged down his body, and warmth trickled down his face as he ran toward the tree line at a break in the avalanching lumber. What do we do? Dennison asked as soon as he was out of the way. She can't fly, Kellen rasped out, panicked. Her wings are messed up. Dennison's gaze jerked skyward. Oh my God. Spread out and catch her, Kellen ordered. Bruiser was already relaying the message into a walkie-talkie to Tegan up on the landing, but Dennison pointed to the sky. There she is. Roger and Skylar had just hit the clouds, and although their forms were faint, they were visible. Kellen took off, his grizzly bursting from him in a blindingly painful moment of fur and teeth and claws cutting through his flesh. He was quick as a man, but he was much faster as an animal. Behind him, he could hear the panting of his crew as they changed and followed him. When they reached the middle of the cleared lane, the bears behind him spread out. Kellen watched the sky. Please don't let him drop her somewhere else. Down to his marrow, Kellen knew he wouldn't. Roger would drop her where Kellen could watch her die. It was a coward's revenge, and Roger was as spineless as they came. Kellen huffed a breath as he saw something fall through the clouds. Skylar was flapping her wings uselessly, trying to slow herself down. Hold on, beautiful. She was too far ahead, would land at the other end of the job site. The distance was too great. Fear pulsed through his blood, dumping adrenaline into him and urging his legs to pump faster. He dug his claws in and pushed his muscles until he was as close to flying as a bear could get. She was in a free fall, spinning uncontrollably as she tried to catch the wind with her damaged wing. A cry burst from her throat as she approached the tops of the trees. Almost there, almost! As she blasted toward the ground in front of him, he leapt through the air and stretched his paws as far as he could, then tucked around her at the last moment. He skidded across the blanket of pine needles and slammed into the trunk of a towering spruce. Afraid to look, He stared at the clouds she'd fallen from, panting so hard his chest burned. Slowly, he opened his claws and looked down at the bird of prey that lay across his chest. Skylar's eyes were closed.
No.
Kellen's breath caught as he sat up and cradled her. Grunts of snarling agony clawed up his throat as he stroked the back of his paw down her chin to the top of her neck, like he'd done the first day he'd met her on that bench outside the grocery store. His fierce little falcon had saved his eyes from Roger's talons. His shifter healing could do wonders, but regrowing body parts was beyond him. Roger had meant to take his sight, and Skylar had attacked him with single-minded fearlessness. His strong mate, his Skylar. Her eyes fluttered open, and the feathers on her breast fluffed as she struggled to sit up. Whatever had happened to her wings had destroyed her sense of balance. Kellen closed his eyes, and as relief washed over him, he melted back into his human skin. With a heaving sigh, he pressed his arm under her talons, and she latched on. Her blade's sharp nails drew tiny streams of crimson from his skin where they pierced him. He didn't care about the pain. She couldn't help that her body was all weapons. The Ash Crew appeared through the trees, transforming from their bears back into their human skins.
"You're a falcon," Dennison said softly.
Skylar's sharp beak was open as she panted, her feathers ruffling with each breath. Kellen didn't know much about birds or what kind of falcon she was, but she was likely much larger than any found in the wild. She was heavy on his arm, and her talons were easily 2 inches long. His mate could do some serious damage in a fight. Roger had flown away colored in red, but as Kellen searched Skylar's body, he couldn't find a single cut. Pride swelled in his chest at how fierce his mate was, and he held his arm up higher as Tegan made his way through the trees, Brooke following closely behind. A slow smile of respect took his alpha's lips, and another wave of relief washed over Kellen. He loved Tegan like a brother, and his approval of his chosen mate meant the world. As Kellen adjusted her heavy weight, Skylar spread her wings as if to try and keep her balance. Kellen narrowed his gaze onto her biggest feathers, which had been clipped neatly in half. Something red and awful snaked into his gut, conjuring a low snarl.
Did he do this to you, Roger? Did he clip your wings?
She couldn't answer in this form, but she didn't have to. The sadness that consumed her beautiful green eyes ripped his heart out. He turned his gaze to Tegan.
Grant me vengeance.
The muscles in Tegan's jaw twitched and jumped as he clenched his teeth and sighed. His hard blue eyes drifted to Skylar's clipped wings, then back to Kellen. He nodded once, then held out his arm. Rage boiled Kellen's blood, and he clenched his hand as he passed Skylar off onto his best friend's forearm.
Dennison,
Tegan murmured, then jerked his head up toward the landing. Dennison followed silently behind him as Kellen made his way toward his truck. He wouldn't return until he avenged what had been done to his mate. The bastard had clipped her, taken the sky away from her. No wonder she hadn't wanted to change. Roger had stolen the most important thing to a flight shifter, just because he could.
Monster.
Roger had mutilated Skylar, then dropped her from the clouds to die in a dishonorable death for her kind. Kellen had taken a silent oath the day he claimed her. He'd sworn to himself he would protect her, but she'd already been damaged beyond what he had seen. Such atrocities couldn't go unpunished. Crestfall or no, Roger was going to pay for what he'd done in blood. Chapter 14. Skylar latched onto Brooke's outstretched arm and flapped her wings slowly to try and keep her balance. Ever since she'd been clipped, her animal didn't work well. She knew everyone had been waiting for her to change, but the more time that passed, the more self-conscious she'd become. At first, it had been embarrassing to admit what Roger had done. The bruises on her face had been shameful enough, but this, he'd clipped her. Sadness pooled in Brighton's eyes as he handed Brooke Skylar's folded-up clothes she'd slipped out of when she'd changed.
I'm gonna take her up on the landing and see if she can change back. You boys give us some privacy for a while, okay?
You got it, Hayden said, and the others murmured similar sentiments.
Brooke made her way steadily up the mountain, only slipping on the steep embankment once. And when she was at the top of the landing, she strode toward the trucks. Kellen's was gone, but Tegan sat there, dark and shiny against the greenery behind. If Skylar's weight on her arm or sharp talons bothered Brooke, she didn't complain. Brooke settled her onto the lowered bed of Tegan's truck, then unfolded her clothes and sat down beside her.
I don't think you can change back as easily as bear shifters can, and I didn't want you feeling rushed around the boys down there. They will have to set up a new skyline now, and that will probably take them the rest of the day.
Brooke nudged her softly, her blonde waves twitching with her movement, and she smiled.
Besides, I don't know how you are with nudity around the boys, but I'm definitely not used to it yet.
And that was one of the many reasons Skylar adored Brooke. She understood things without ever having to discuss them first. She was sweet and sensitive and had an intuition that the rough-and-tumble boys in the crew lacked. Skylar closed her eyes and forced the change back into her human skin. It hurt because she hadn't done it in a while, but she was glad to have the transformation done. It was the first time she'd allowed her animal to have her body since Roger had clipped her. Her muscles were stiff and sore, but Brooke seemed to know what she needed and helped her dress.
Is Kellen going to kill Roger? Skylar asked, as quiet as a breath.
Brooke inhaled slowly and nodded.
Yes. What Roger's done to you is too much for a man like Kellen to bear. If he didn't, Tegan would probably go after him, or Dennison, or any of the boys down there.
He deserves death, Tegan said, as he approached from the dirt road. He and whoever was helping him attacked the entire crew to exact a vengeance that was unwarranted. Here. He handed her a cell phone. Call your counsel.
Fear trilled down Skylar's spine at the thought of talking to her father or any of the council again. She'd thought this was through, and she'd got a clean break. But Tegan was her alpha now, and he didn't ask meaningless requests, not like Roger had done. He was a good man, and she trusted him.
She dialed her father's number. He would be in the office with the other council members, but it was the only number she knew from heart. Dad answered on the second ring. Hello?
It's me, Skylar.
You. You've caused some serious problems for me. You've disgraced our family, your lineage. He sounded disgusted to even talk to her.
Dad, you disgraced your family when you gave me to Roger Crestfall. I'm not calling to get your approval on my new life. I'm calling as a courtesy and because my new alpha has asked me to do so.
New alpha? Dad sounded baffled. Tegan took the phone from her hand and nodded, as if she'd done well. Relief fluttered in her stomach. Between Kellen and Tegan, she was going to be all right. This is Tegan James, he said into the phone. Do you know who I am? His eyes went dead and cold. Good. Then you'll know that I don't bluff, and neither do my people. Skylar Drake is no longer a breeder for your people. She is now Skylar Brown of the Ash Crew. She lives under our protection, works under our protection, and is claimed and mated to the second in my crew. And I assure you, he is one scary son of a bitch when his mate is threatened.
Tears filled Skylar's eyes, and she lifted her chin proudly as she listened to Tegan initiate her into his crew. She had people now, real people, who cared what happened to her. She'd seen them when she was falling from the sky, running like their lives depended on it, when it was really her life that depended on them. A line of great grizzly bears trying to save her. Why? Not because she was a Drake, but because she mattered to them.
We have been attacked by one of your own in our territory, Tegan said low, his voice turning gravelly and inhuman. If this happens again, I will personally take it as a declaration of war between the Falcons and bear shifters. Now I've heard talk that you are already losing a war. Best you don't start another with my people.
He went quiet for a minute as Dad spoke too low for her to hear on the other end of the line.
Accepted. Here she is.
He handed the phone back to Skylar. Slowly, she pulled it up to her ear.
Is this your choice? Dad asked, sounding defeated.
Yes. I've chosen my mate and my people. When you chose for me, I got hurt. The only one who knows what is right for me is me.
You'll forsake your people then? You'll curse your children with bears inside of them?
Happily, because it isn't a curse. When my mate and I decide to breed, our children will be loved by their father and by me, no matter which animal they harbor. My last name didn't ever do anything for me, but bring me pain.
She wiped her eyes and sniffed, then steadied her voice.
I'm happy now. I found a place I belong with people who care about me. I hope you can understand.
Dad was quiet for a long time. When at last he spoke, his voice sounded quiet and sad. Goodbye, Skylar.
Bye, Dad.
As she hung up the phone, she knew it was the last time she'd ever talk to him. Her banishment would be swift, and she'd be shunned by her people. Her father, being a council member, would be punished severely if he ever contacted her. And he wasn't the kind to break his people's narrow-minded rules for sentiment. She handed the phone to Tegan. He turned and strode off, but right as he was about to disappear over the ledge of the landing, he called over his shoulder.
You're off probation, rookie.
It had been hours, and Kellen still wasn't back yet. Skylar paced 10-10 like a caged animal, and when she'd nearly walked off the top layer of cheap wood laminate flooring, she headed outside to get some fresh air. The evening was quiet. Most days, the boys cooked or grilled food for everyone around the fire pit at the end of the pothole-riddled street. But tonight, everyone was eating inside. A somber mood had descended onto the trailer park, and if she had to guess, the others were just as worried about how long it was taking Kellen and Dennison to return as she was. What if Roger had caught them by surprise, and something awful had happened to them? It would be all her fault. She'd brought trouble to the crew, and she'd hate herself forever if anything happened to any one of them because of her. And if something happened to Kellen? She swallowed the lump of fear down and jogged across the street to Brooke and Tegan's trailer. After her knuckles rapped softly against the door, Tegan answered. With a knowing look, he said,
Come on in. You hungry?
We have leftovers. I don't think I could eat anything right now.
He'll be fine. I know Kellen. I've known him most of his life. He's one of the best fighters I've ever seen.
Dennison, too. Tegan squeezed her shoulder, and a curious warmth spread through her chest, relaxing her. Apparently, Tegan also possessed some alpha magic mojo that could settle her down. With a steadying inhalation of breath, she did her best to smile. It likely came across as a grimace.
Brooke's in her studio.
Thanks, she said on a breath, then headed for the second bedroom they'd turned into an artist's haven. Buckets of paint, charcoal, brushes, and inks lined the farthest wall. The floor was covered in a thick, paint-spattered purple rug, and painted canvases leaned against the shortest walls. In the center of the room, a single light illuminated an easel that supported a giant canvas. This was where Brooke sat, dragging a brush down a painting of a falcon. Skylar gasped at its beauty, not of her animal, as she was depicted on the canvas, but of the detail Brooke had painted onto it. The paints had been built up, layer upon layer, and dark. The lower corner was covered with a drawing of Kellen looking up at the falcon, his arm out, as if he were ready for her to land on his forearm. The falcon had its wings spread wide as she prepared to latch onto him with her talons. Skylar approached slowly. She ran her fingers just above the full-length flight feathers Brooke had painted. The wings were perfect, just as hers used to be. Brooke hooked her arm around Skylar's waist and rested her head on her hip. They'll grow back, won't they? Emotion clogged her throat, and she nodded.
In another 5 months. Maybe less.
5 more months, and she'd be able to ride the currents of the wind again and feel the misty clouds on her face.
5 more months, and she'd be whole again.
Can I buy this painting? She asked reverently as she stroked Brooke's hair.
When you're finished with it, can I buy it for Kellen?
No. Skylar's heart sank. I'm painting this for you and Kellen as a claiming gift. I'll take it to Boulder and put it in a show in a couple of months with my other pieces. But I won't list it for sale. When it comes back, it'll be yours.
Skylar smiled and tried to keep the overwhelming urge to cry inside of her. She studied the long cream and gold feathers and the graceful arc of her black talons.
You've made me look quite beautiful.
Brooke squeezed her waist and said,
You are.
Someday you'll see that. When the damage Roger has done is in your past. When you've had time to heal.
This, she said, pointing to the painting, is what people see.
Skylar, Tegan called from the other room.
Yeah?
Your mate's back.
Those words had her scrambling out of Tegan's trailer, like her tail feathers had been lit on fire.
Sure enough, Kellen's truck was pulling to a stop in front of his den. A sob lodged in her throat as she ran toward it.
He slid from the driver's side door as Dennison opened the passenger's. She flung herself into Kellen's barely ready arms and buried her face against his chest. With a growl, he picked her up and kicked his door closed, then took his porch stairs, two at a time, and hurried them into his den. He'd been leaving the windows only half boarded up lately. He said it was because he didn't like not being able to see her, but she thought it was also from him wanting her to be happy in his home. The darkness had been hard to get used to for her falcon, so his bear was compromising. He slammed the door and cupped her face.
I don't care, he said, kissing her hard and drawing back. I don't care that your wings are clipped, you hear me? You're flawless. My perfect, he kissed her nose. Beautiful, he kissed her cheek. Mate.
Oh, Kellen, she sighed, as her heart tethered itself to him completely. I was scared of changing, and you being disappointed. You always look so proud when I do something strong, and I was so ashamed of what Roger had done, of what I'd allowed him to do to me. I should have fought him harder, fought until I died to keep my wings. He stripped my pride, and I just cried and took it. I didn't want you to see how weak I'd been.
You aren't weak. He was.
Was, she repeated, feeling lightheaded.
Kellen stretched out her fingers and laid a long feather across the palm of her hand. It was dark brown with thin white stripes, a mark of the Crestfall lineage.
Was, he repeated. He won't ever hurt you again. No more looking at the sky, thinking that someday he'll be there. He's gone. It's over.
A mass of emotions flooded her. Sadness at the loss of a life. Heartache that Kellen had been forced to take that life on her behalf. Relief that the fear would finally be over. If Roger had only let her go, he could have survived this. Instead, he had turned murderous and pissed off her mate and an entire crew of fearsome grizzlies. Roger had made his deathbed with the first beat of his wings as he dragged her towards the clouds today.
They'll grow back, she whispered,
desperate to show Kellen she wouldn't be broken forever.
Good,
Kellen rumbled as he stroked her cheek with the pad of his thumb.
I'd love you just the same either way, but you deserve the sky. You deserve everything.
She looked around his den, made brighter, because he loved her. She held his hands, the ones that had avenged the wrong done to her. She looked in his churning, silver, inhuman eyes. The ones always filled with adoration when he looked at her. He'd given her a place with his people, and a home she felt safe in. He'd given her peace, and encouraged her to find her own inner strength. She smiled up at him, her protective mate.
You've already given me everything.
Epilogue.
I have something for you, Skylar said.
Kellen pulled his sweater over his taut abs and frowned.
You got me a present?
His dark hair was all mussed from dressing,
and she laughed at how adorable he looked, all hopeful and disheveled and undeniably delicious. He'd ripped all the boards off the windows over time, citing the need to see her body and watch her sleep in the mornings. She'd moved out of 1010 a couple of months ago and into his trailer, which had only seemed to soothe his bear even more. Remember when you gave me my songbird necklace, and I told you mated pairs in my culture exchange gifts in the ceremony to make it official?
Yeah.
Well, I realized I hadn't given you anything in return. I know we're officially mated, according to crew law, but I wanted it to be official in every way.
Kellen picked her up and spun as he fell backward, landing on the mattress with her giggling on top of his chest.
Give me, he murmured. She handed him the tiny box wrapped in homemade paper Brooke had taught her to make.
It's not much, but it's the most important thing I own, and I want you to have it.
His face grew serious as he plucked the box from her fingertips. He opened it slowly, as if savoring the moment, then pulled the bauble from the crinkling tissue paper inside. It was the metal bottle top from the soda he'd given her the first day he'd met her. She had pocketed it and kept it all this time as a reminder of the day her life changed forever for the better. She drilled two holes and attached it to an adjustable leather strap.
I didn't know you kept this, he said, his eyes riveted on the trinket.
I've been carrying it in my pocket for months. It's my good luck charm. He inhaled deeply and asked, will you put it on me? She straddled his hips and opened the leather adjuster wider, then slipped it over his hand and tightened it against his wrist. Dark metal top and dark leather, and it looked very manly, just like her mate. He cupped the back of her head and brought her down for a kiss. He took his time, softening his lips against hers as he sipped at her, tasting her. His tongue brushed hers, but he seemed content to remain connected in this sweet embrace. She wondered if he even knew he owned her heart and soul.
Are you ready? He whispered as he eased back.
Nervous flutters filled her belly again. Was she ready to fly? Half a year on the ground had seemed like an eternity. Hell yeah, I'm ready.
That's my girl, he said in that sexy, deep, rumbling voice of his.
She undressed in a rush and gave him a nervous grin before she let her animal have her skin. Her falcon burst from her, and she settled onto the floor by the bed. She stretched her wings, now completely regrown with long, elegant feathers, and took a couple of practice flaps. The air under her whooshed away, toppling a pair of her shoes that sat against the wall.
Come on, beautiful. It's time for you to fly.
Kellen offered his arm, and she gripped it with her talons, then spread her wings to balance herself as he lifted her. She could see everything in this body, the grain and the wooden door as Kellen opened it, and each individual dried piece of late November grass as he walked her toward the gathering near the bonfire. The boys were throwing her a first flight party, but really, they used any excuse to drink beer and barbecue, no matter that it was 30 degrees outside and smelled like snow. They were currently drinking Dixie Cup shots of boxed wine with Brooke and laughing at something Dennison said. Brighton was strumming his guitar, and it was the first to see them approach. He kicked his twin brother, and Dennison turned.
Ah, yeah, here she comes, Dennison called. You still owe me $20, he said, glaring at Hayden.
You didn't get her to turn, Hayden argued. That Crestfall prick did. Technically, he'd get the pot. If he were still alive.
We had a side bet, Dennison said. Whoever guessed her got the secondary pot.
You didn't guess her, Bruiser gritted out.
Dennison's mouth dropped open as if he was appalled.
I didn't guess her. Are you serious right now? I guessed where Bumblebee. I was the closest. I win. Pay up, suckers.
Good grief, Kellen muttered. Tegan took a swig of his beer and waved his hand.
Hold on. How the hell do you think a bumblebee is anything like a freaking dagger-clawed, dive-bombing, badass bird-of-prey falcon?
Dennison arched his eyebrows like the answer should have been obvious.
Bees fly.
The boys erupted into more argument, and Brooke shook her head and took another swig from her Dixie cup. If Skylar could have laughed in this form, she would have. God, she loved being a part of this crazy crew.
You can do this, Kellen murmured as he crouched down. With a jerk of his arm, she was airborne, stretching long, unused muscles as she used the breeze to lift her. A few more powerful thrusts, and she was high above them, circling her people. They'd all gone quiet as they watched her, except for Dennison. Dennison whistled a catcall. Tegan put his arm around his mate, and he and Brooke grinned up at her. Hayden and Brighton lifted their beers in a silent toast. And Kellen? Her Kellen.
His eyes followed her, like she was the most beautiful thing he'd seen. He rubbed the bracelet on his wrist, her declaration that he was hers for always. She widened the loop and pumped her wings for higher altitude. Bursting through the clouds, she spun and dove, then pulled up again. Here, she finally felt like herself again, not her old self that was weak and out of options. She felt like the self she'd always wanted to be. As she coasted high above the piney mountains, past the clearing where she'd called Roger and told him they were through, and along the mountainside that was home to the Ash Crew's job site, she thought of all she'd found here. When she turned back to get a bird's-eye view of Ashford Drive and the trailer park she considered home, she was filled with consuming joy. The Ash Crew was sitting around the fire, talking, but her mate was still standing just where he'd been, eyes to the sky, waiting for her, as he always would. Kellen had been worth all of the personal growth she'd needed to go through in order to find herself. She'd put in the work and evicted her demons, because he deserved the best of her. She'd risen from the ashes of her past to give herself a shot at happiness with a man she loved. Today, she didn't feel like a falcon. She felt like a phoenix.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Woodcutter Werebear, written by T.S. Joyce, performed by Mackenzie Hart. Executive producers, Rena Seth and Mike Charzak. Copyright, 2015 by T.S. Joyce. Sound recording copyright, 2017 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc. If you enjoyed this audiobook, be sure to get more books in the Saw Bears series today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.